Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our precious Savior. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 33. The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ, Lifting Up the Cross. Scriptures. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1, verses 24 to 29. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Again, a comforter. The Lord the Comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives within you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, Amplified Bible. The secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God is among you in very truth. 1 Corinthians 14:25, Amplified Bible. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given, so that I might make clear to the Gentiles the good news of the unending wealth of Christ, and make all men see what is the ordering of the secret, which from the first has been kept in God who made all things. So that now, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavens, might be made clear through the church the wide, shining wisdom of God, which is seen in his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord, by whom we come near to God without fear through faith in him. For this reason, it is my prayer that you may not become feeble because of my troubles for you, which are your glory. For this cause I go down on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that in the wealth of his glory he would make you strong with power through his Spirit in your hearts, so that Christ may have his place in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and based in love, may have strength to see with all the saints how wide and long and high and deep it is, and to have knowledge of the love of Christ, which is outside all knowledge, so that you may be made complete as God himself is complete. Now unto him who is able to do in full measure more than all our desires or thoughts, through the power which is working in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So be it. Ephesians 3, verses 8 to 21, Bible in Basic English. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 8. On the online version, there's underlines which are mine. Samech. S-A-M-E-C-H. Samech. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Psalm 119, verses 113 to 120. Again, online version, there are underlines which are mine. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 51:17-26. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, verses 13 to 22. And scriptures. Vision. In brackets, a statement. First, the following vision came right in the midst of personal great tribulation, when the tempest of a trial was besetting my life in such a way as to not know which way I was to go, to be delivered, or to overcome. As a distress of heart and mind came to the full, the following was given. Kenneth B. Visscher. And here's the vision. I beheld in the full splendor of resurrection glory, the living Christ, right in the center of my entire being, in my heart, in the core of my spirit. There was the risen Lord. This indeed was the mystery of the indwelling Christ to me, for he appeared right when my outer man was under great duress because of outer tribulation. As such, I was seeking to be delivered from this tribulation and was looking for a way of escape. We are told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So there I was, in this great tribulation when the vision came. The answer, a quickened portion of the Spirit of Truth rising in me to reveal in me the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one unto whom all nations will come, and to whom all the souls of men shall be in time redeemed. Naturally, I desired an answer to this outward tribulation. It was when I saw the Christ that I also saw my answer. For Jesus in me was lifting up and handing to my soul the weight of the personal cross. Let me read that again. For Jesus in me was lifting up and handing to my soul the weight of the personal cross. The cross in me was not wooden and old-looking with old beams and an old crossbar. It was a glorious, new, white cross, bright and beautiful, a staff of great power, and with the ability, when I was fastened to it, to cancel out my entire gamut of tribulation. The trial I was in became nothing, as the cross instantly gave it answer. The answer was given in two parts. First, that I knew Christ was in me. Secondly, that the cross, now beautiful in white and in power, was the answer to the outward circumstances causing me this duress. There was with this no long waiting for the trial to end, no enduring until the end of the day, no course needed for my feet to be brought into alignment with his word. The simple fact that he was in me with this cross for me became the final and instant conclusion of the matter. Later, when I wondered how fast this tribulation came to an end, the Lord gave me scriptures and understanding to confirm his word. And all of this came because of the power of the inworked cross given by Jesus who lives within me. The entire revelation was like another level higher of increased victory in overcoming. Not a future looking for Christ, but a present reality in his saints, the knowledge of his will within us, and that the cross is still very much a reality. The same Jesus that we read about rising from his tomb was the one who resided in me. End vision. Beginning now in the first study of the fifth of the mystery series we are having opened to our understanding, the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Thus far, we have covered the introduction to the mysteries, the fellowship of the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the church. We are open to the Lord for more understanding to be given on the ones we studied thus far, which can be added to at any time. And so it is the same for this study on the mystery of the indwelling Christ. As a body of people who are apprehended for this hour, and as a people who desire all that the Lord has for them, not just now, but in the days just before us, there needs to be the proper heart attitude that is conducive to remaining in a state of continual victory in spite of outward pressures. It is the outward pressures of daily life that should afford this proper attitude in us. And that attitude must be, and only can be, the complete emptying out of self in every respect, but not an emptying out of one's own person in such a way as to lose intelligent discernment, but as the people of the Lord, the emptying out of self with great wisdom, so that the Lord is given fully the throne of the heart. There is coming to all of us now a greater emptying out of who we are as individuals in favor of gaining in return an identity as a living created person in the image of the Lord, minus any taint of distortion. that we truly become as we were created, living stones set in perfect order into our place in the holy city, the body of Christ. I am saying now that we all have turned a corner on this. I am saying now that we all have turned a corner on this. We have become a people set in that place that pleases the Lord. It is His hand that has set each one of us there, and that order cannot be undone. It is indeed a great day for those who have learned to obey the Lord and overcome. In the mystery of the indwelling Christ, there must first be the discarding of any idea that one is unworthy to have Jesus live in them. Our qualification for His life in us is His own grace as a person, His redemption. By His blood He freely shed upon Calvary. It was the signature of His approval upon us as our Redeemer. And not only did He approve us, He took up His abode in us as the King of Kings to groom us and prepare each of us for that awesome responsibility of one day inheriting the throne. It is a fearsome thing to think that each of us will be granted the acknowledgement of total victory and declared to be overcomers. And then, given the responsibility of also inheriting, with that declaration, the power and authority of His throne. The right to become this is not a reward, but a calling. I'll say it again. The right to become this is not a reward, but a calling. It is not because we deserve it, but because He chose that for each one who hears this higher call. Just as Jesus is in us all in a truth, is but one part of what He intends for us. The next part is to be granted the right to rule from the height of His own majesty when our course here is completed. This is indeed very humbling. One of the main reasons for knowing that Christ is in us is to prepare us for this throne. It is the throne that must, to us, be the place of the full loss of personal identity, yet the retention of identity, both happening at the very same time. The full loss of personal identity, yet the retention of identity, both happening at the very same time. For those who are granted the right to sit with Christ upon the throne, do not receive this as a reward, but as a task, a work that is yet to be done, a work that must be accomplished in the millennial age, which is beginning to dawn and will soon manifest as the age of great peace for the entire world. Those upon the throne will be there to serve mankind and every nation, those existing now as well as those extinct, so that they may all come into the fullness of the love of the Father. The right to sit upon the throne extends as far as submission by the nations is required. It is to that end that the right to rule is granted, never for our own wealth, but only for the wealth of all these whom Jesus redeemed, and unto whom he will reveal Himself as their only Savior. The mystery of the indwelling Christ is but the earnest of that which is to come. It is the full measure of the person of Jesus, but only in one part of our being. It is but the down payment of that which will one day become the full measure. It is not that Christ in us is in part. It is that we are in part. He is fully in us, but we are only partly able to know Him there. We yet have our carnal understanding, which resists any knowledge of Christ in us. As time moves forward and as we approach the days ahead with the knowledge that his full appearing is just in front of us, this knowing that he is in us of a truth will become more and more a reality. The true location of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for us. As well, he is in his body, the church of the living Christ, and in you as an individual. The purpose of studying the mystery of the indwelling Christ is to reveal him there, in you of a truth, and not outside of you or outside of your reach. This study will teach you how to know Christ is in you and how that you can see him within without seeing your own spirit instead. And underlined, without seeing you, your own spirit instead. I'll say that whole sentence again. The mystery of the indwelling Christ is to reveal him there in you of a truth and not outside of you or outside of your reach. This study will teach you how to know Christ is in you and how that you can see him within without seeing your own spirit instead. For a line of separation will be drawn by the tip of the Lord's sword in you, dividing asunder soul and spirit and revealing that your spirit is now one with the Spirit of the Lord in you, yet at the same time revealing just what part is your spirit and what part is his spirit, as well as that place of this fusion. That place where you were joined to the Lord in spirit and became one with his spirit, fusion. This is crucial to overcoming. We need to know these things so we can obey the Lord in all things and be prepared for his unveiling. The Lord Jesus Christ promised he would come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we would be with him also. He said in John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." At the same time, he also shared the method by which he would go to prepare this place for us. And that method was nothing other than the cross, which cross was but the vehicle to return him to the Father. Therein lays the mystery, that Christ, who was one with and full of the Father, had to go through the cross to return to the Father. O mystery of mysteries! How is it that the cross, that gruesome instrument of such a horrible death, could be the means to make the promises of John 14 true? Very simply, it demolishes the life of this world in you. Again, very simply, John 14, it demolishes the life of this world in you. For Jesus, it demolished the Son of Man, for he referred to himself in such a way. Yet it was the Son of Man which died upon that cross, and it was the Son of Man which was raised again from the dead. It was the Son of Man, born after the woman, which suffered this infamy. It was his holy life, cursed upon the cross, which returned holy unto the Father, a completed course, one in which the will of Jesus was demolished along with the Son of Man. He laid his humanity down, and he offered his holy life along with it, and by that he of his own self gave up the life flow of his own blood and redeemed fully all creation. The perfect Savior, none to follow the sacrifice he made until to be revealed as ones in whom his fullness dwells. It is this very same Lord that dwells in your spirit and is one with your spirit, and it is the same Jesus that will come again. Now, how is it that he will come again when he is already in us? His coming will be when you have come to the end of your duality. Again, his coming will be when you have come to the end of your duality, when your carnality has lost all power, when that in you is all him and nothing else. For all else is emptied out of you, and nothing remains but he who is in you. And I say to you in prophecy, whether you can bear this word or not, that this is about to happen. Your carnality is at the full and is ready to die. The cross in your heart will finish the canceling out needed, and Christ will rise in you and outside of you as he is. This course of ending the duality is now upon us. And I say to you in prophecy that the mystery of the indwelling Christ will be openly revealed for all mankind to see. Your task at that time will truly begin when you, in a body like his body, will begin to reign from the throne of glory alongside the Lord himself to give full life and liberty to all mankind and all this creation. Make no mistake, dear reader of these pages. All you can see sometimes is your own carnality, which you've grown to hate and loathe, and which to you is a gross opposition to the things of the Lord. That must be, dear ones. It must all be surfaced in you. Every taint of religious effort or pride or adherence to the scriptures based on religious structures and not on the free flow of his mind in you, all of this must rise in you by the heat of the burning fire of the Holy Spirit. And all that this is in you must first become in you a full measure. The entire cup of iniquity in you must be full to spilling over. For the Lord will, with one impaling measure of the cross in you, remove this all in a single stroke. And how much will die in you then? All that which is based in you as the Son of Man, or if you will, that part of you which is to be forever discarded. The mistake you'd make now is to think that your carnality is all there in you. The mistake you'd make now is to think that your carnality is all there is in you, for that is not what is important. What is important is to know that the Lord is driving out these false things in you, just as he desired to drive out the ungodly nations in Canaan. The same rule applies. These go before you as corruptible, but the man of the Spirit will remain forever. I fail to read that part again. The entire cup of iniquity in you must be full to spilling over. For the Lord will, with one impaling measure of the cross in you, remove this all in a single stroke. And how much will die in you then? All that which is based in you as the Son of Man, or if you will, that part of you which is to be forever discarded. The mistake you'd make now is to think that your carnality is all there is in you, for that is not what is important. What is important is to know that the Lord is driving out these false things in you, just as he desired to drive out the ungodly nations in Canaan. The same rule applies. These go before you as corruptible, but the man of the Spirit will forever remain. Cry out, dear overcomer, and say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Allow your Gethsemane to become in you the resolute ambition of the will of the Father, and know that it will mean your full identity in the Lord becoming a present reality. For that which the pattern Son endured will be forevermore completed in you as you do this. As you yield to the will of the Father with the knowledge that he is pleased to take up residence in you, he draws the line of separation. You only need to abide it. His will shall be done, and you will be seen with Christ in you, a mystery openly seen by all the nations at once, and glorious will be the day of this world's deliverance into the wonderful liberty of the sons and daughters of God. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.